Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining me this morning, Laura Matthijs. Laura is the Executive Director of Achieving Dreams in Tyler. And Laura, I know we've visited off and on over the years on the radio and off the radio, just around the community where you've been involved with different things for quite a while. Great to have you with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much, John. We appreciate you having us on.
Sure thing. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Laura, first time we've talked about Achieving Dreams on the In Focus show. Better late than never. I think you've been up and going for about 6 years now, and let's have a little bit of that history and background, first of all. What Achieving Dreams is, what it does, how it all began back in 2014, was it? I think?
Yes. There were a number of parents and special education professionals that got together that were connected to the school system and realized that when the kids were aging out, that there wasn't many options or ideal options for them to connect into community. And that's when Achieving Dreams evolved. And many of those original board members are still with us today.
Your mission statement: to enrich the lives of adults with special needs by providing opportunities and support within the community. And I think this is really important. You look beyond disabilities, instead focusing on capabilities and expanding possibilities. Talk about how important that last sentence of your mission statement is.
Well, we look at each individual and consider what their particular needs are, and visiting with the families, and recognize that everybody has their own giftings. And so when we're building the program, it's regularly modified in consideration of each individual, as well as how everyone will work together in a group setting.
Okay, how do they find you? How do you find them? It's after 6 years from what we were talking about before we went to air, it almost sounds like something people do automatically, but just a little bit about how you basically get connected with this population.
Well, again, when in the school system and parents are already considering what's going to be the activities that they're family member is going to do after they graduate, and so they hear about organizations such as Achieving Dreams, and so many times people call us and they've heard about us through the grapevine or from other parents mm-hmm. or somebody in the school system, and we regularly have a waiting list. You know, prior to COVID-19 we did, and now we have a waiting list for other reasons, but we still are accepting new people if they meet the eligibility criteria.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are donation and volunteer opportunities, which we'll get to later in the show. I want to give out some contact information right now. You are housed at Shiloh Road Church of Christ, which is a very prominent building. You drive through that part of town, you can hardly miss, and it's right there at the corner of Shiloh and Paluxy. And phone number 903-630-7724. You can email achievingdreamsoftyler@gmail.com, and the website is achievingdreams.org. And we'll repeat some of that during the course of the show in case people do want to get connected with you for different reasons. Now, with a daily rotating system of participants identified as achievers, attendees enjoy a variety of activities. Talk about that term, achievers. Terminology, I know, in the nonprofit world is so important. You want to make sure you're getting the right message out there. How did you come up with the idea to call them achievers, and how do you think that benefits everybody concerned?
Well, I appreciate you taking note of that, because that is very important, and that the individuals, as I said, they have goals, and so they're working toward achieving those goals. And the individuals that are in the program refer to themselves as achievers, mm-hmm. and we also refer to them as achievers.
They enjoy a variety of activities that promote social, educational, recreational, and pre-vocational development. And I think you mentioned earlier attendance reached 17 a day, and now you've had to split it into a couple of teams that had separate community schedules and full group time shared in the morning, lunch, and late afternoon. So basically this is a day program, if I understand correctly.
Yes, and actually, when I said 17, that consists of the two teams.
Okay.
So each team may have seven to nine on each team.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we do have a census of about 15 a day. So it's just really two off of our maximum capacity at this time.
Okay. Now, achievers are, and let's make sure this is clear, moderate to high-functioning adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Ages generally range from their 20s up to 60s, and that 20s figure comes in, really, I guess, goes back to the beginning when it was high school parents that were wondering what how to help their kids after they graduated from high school. And they live in Tyler and the surrounding area. Basically, you serve Smith County. Do you go outside the county a little bit?
It really depends on whether families can bring their individual to the program or not. We don't have restrictions on that.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like GoBus sometimes might have somebody that comes from outside of Smith County, but most people will fall within Smith County.
Okay. Talking to Laura Matice, she is the executive director of Achieving Dreams in Tyler. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Before COVID-19, these folks were actually getting out and working and training and being active with local businesses and organizations and things like that. That's had to be put on hold because of COVID-19. What kinds of activities are they engaged with right now?
Well, as it relates to the community partners that we've had, who we've so valued over the years, we do have outreach to them for bringing items to the center, or us picking things up and then bringing them back. So, for instance, we arrange with Hand Up Network to us to be able to organize jewelry for them, and also ties, things of that nature, belts. But also the food banks, we're going to be doing some outreach to see if there's anything mm-hmm. that's non-food related that we can do the same. But as far as the community partner relationships, we are having to put them on standby, as you indicated.
Okay, so we're talking about a daily schedule of work, fun, and learning. Did I hit that on more or less?
Yes,
on the head?
And
okay.
We have a full-size community, a full-size commercial kitchen that is on site there.
Uh-huh.
So they do culinary classes, so they'll learn about measuring and also working in a group, and we do have the social distancing happening, so we have that adjusted as well. So there's just a smaller group at a time that are in the kitchen, even though it is a large space. We also have activities that they do on the iPad, so emphasizing those computer skills. We have reading exercises. They listen to readings, participate in readings. Lots of different physical games and activities because it's actually held in a gymnasium where they meet, again, allowing for safe social distancing. They can play large volleyball-type games, just a basketball, all types of different activities to keep their physical fitness going.
Okay. Does that pretty much summarize the different types of activities they're going to be involved with on a day-in, day-out basis, or were there any others that come to mind that you'd kind of like to highlight a little bit?
Well, we have crafts that are regularly part of it, and again, it's helping with fine motor skills and just using their creative skills, bringing out talents that they may not have even realized they had. So we have so many different varieties of types of crafts that help with different skill building and just pure enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Going over some things here, and we've touched on some of this already, as with everyone in early March, your attendance of usually 17 or somewhere in that range daily dropped significantly. By the second week of the month, you closed your rehabilitation services and stayed closed about 2.5 months. This follows a familiar model. It kind of sounds like it coincides with what Governor Abbott and some of the local officials have been doing as far as reopening as we've hopefully gotten a better handle on COVID-19. A number of safety precautions added. I think you may have just gone over those. Temperature taking, screening questions, mask wearing, social distancing, hand washing and sanitizing, other changes to procedures. And that's still underway, if I understand correctly.
Certainly. We have not let up on any of that. I mean, it's just become part of our standard protocol. Immediately upon arrival, when they they step out of the vehicle, they actually have their temperature taken, and then they come into the building, the quick screening questions, similar to like when you go to a medical facility, mm-hmm. the basic questions that everyone gets asked, we're doing the same, and then they proceed from there to hand washing, and then throughout the day we have the large sanitizing. We don't meet in our normal meeting room. As I said, we are out in the gymnasium, 6-foot tables. Each person is 6 feet apart sitting at a table. We have adequate tables to be able to do that. So we're really blessed that we're in a space that we can do this, because there may be some day habs that don't have that ability to be able to offer that because of space restrictions.
All righty. And as you said earlier, you're averaging about 15 attendees a day remaining at the center location until such time as it is safe to go out into the community again. You're like everybody else, me, everybody. Mm-hmm. We're on the edge of our seats. When do we get back to normal? But in the meantime, it sounds like you have a pretty good handle on things. Talking to Laura Matice this morning on In Focus, I'm John Sims. Laura is the executive director of Achieving Dreams in Tyler, a mission to enrich the lives of adults with special needs by providing opportunities and support within the community. You meet at Shiloh Road Church of Christ in Tyler at the corner of Shiloh and Paluxy. Phone number 903-630-7724. You can email achievingdreamsoftyler@gmail.com, and you can get all that information and more from the website, which
now,
is
John,
achievingdreams.org.
I do want to emphasize that as far as the location,
yeah.
We actually meet at the building called Gate 11 that
okay.
is in the back parking area there,
Thank
not
you.
Actually within the church space. So I wanted people to realize that. And we are there from 9 to 2, and we're not accepting visitors right now related to the health situation. So people would need to call our number in advance rather than just stop by.
Okay. So am I hearing that you do have visitors, but they need to check ahead of time? Is that how it works?
Yes. We have a certain inquiries that we have to do, and occasionally we do accept visitors, but mm-hmm. we have to have restrictions even more so than before.
Okay, and getting back to what we were talking about a minute ago, you're still providing a variety of activities and seeking additional pre-vocational community partner projects to do while on site. I know you mentioned Hand Up Network and talking to the food bank. Are there any other particular types of organizations or specific organizations you hope to partner with as you go through this COVID-19 process and then further on down the road?
Well, in the past, we did have relationships, long-term relationships, with a number of different restaurants, and, of course, we know how they have been impacted. So we had the Cheevers, they were going in and folding pizza boxes or rolling utensils and napkins, things like that. But related to health concerns, there's limitations on
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing that we
yeah.
can do. So we're open to ideas. We also are looking at possible more clerical kind of organizing thing, maybe folding newsletters, stuffing envelopes, things of that nature.
Okay, and I'm interested by the pre-vocational terminology, and I understand that this only applies to really a limited number of your achievers. What kinds of vocations, the ones who are going to eventually move into the workforce, what kinds of vocations are they looking at having further on down the line? I think you may have touched on that a little bit, but a little more specific on that, I guess.
Well, we have had a few achievers that have had successful employment in the past, and we have at least a couple that have interest in doing so in the future. Most of their skill levels would relate to positions that may be stocking in a grocery store or greeting at a Walmart, things of that nature, or maybe organizing in some way at a facility such as like one of the places like Hand Up Network, if
mm-hmm.
they had paid positions, or Bethesda's, clothing shops, things like that. So there's just it would just have to be very task oriented, and that they would have somebody that could provide direction without constant oversight, but that they would need guidance.
Okay, and for those of our listeners who may not be that familiar with a nonprofit community, Bethesda, of course, the health clinic that's located next to First Baptist Church in Tyler for people with limited income, and Hand Up Network was known as Cornerstone for short, up until maybe a year, year and a half ago. And they're the ones located in the building, the old Green Acres building at on Beckham Street at the edge of downtown Tyler. And we've had them on the show before. They just do a lot of different things with working with people in need around the community. Just for folks who may not be all that familiar, of course, you can always check online if you want to know more about them. Moving on to how you keep yourselves going financially, and there's a very simple donation capability online, as there is with practically everybody we talk to on the show. But the specific event that we're going to talk about right now is called Circle of Caring. That is a big fundraiser for you, and like everybody else, it's been impacted by COVID-19, but it sounds like you've risen to the occasion. What are we going to be doing? Talk about Circle of Caring and how that's going to be handled this year.
Well, Circle of Caring has been our annual fundraising event that generally takes place in October. And our board really takes the lead on this, and they took the bull by the horns for our Wild West Roundup theme this year. And rather than just cancel the event, because a lot of places are having to do that, they did choose to go for a virtual event. And it's already proving to be a great decision. We're moving forward with it. It will be October 8th. We actually have a silent auction associated with it. We're already selling raffle tickets for two great Texas trips. We have an online store, and people just go to the www.achievingdreams.org, and at the top there's a banner, and it has Circle of Caring, and you just click on that, and that gets you into the event, and we already have some things going there. But it actually will be leading up to October 8th at 6 p.m. We'll have presentations, including special entertainment by the Achievers at that time.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun. Talking to Laura Matthijs, Executive Director of Achieving Dreams in Tyler. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And did you want to maybe go over, of course, they can get all this information online, but as long as you're here, maybe talk a little bit about the different sponsorship opportunities, first of all?
Sponsorship opportunities for the event would range anywhere from $100 up to $2,500 or more. We have a number of sponsorships coming in. People will get recognition if they so choose, of course, on the site. We've had some people that choose to be anonymous, and we can indicate that as well. So it comes with certain a number of raffle tickets if they are lined up before October 1st for that, for the sponsorships. And there'll be recognition on the site that will be out there for the entire year, as well as a special commemorative poster that we're going to have in the center for the future. It'll be there for forevermore as long as we're there.
All righty. Can you talk a little bit about where those two great Texas trips are going to be?
Yes, we have one that's at Cedar Creek Lake and Maybank, and that's for up to eight people. Mm-hmm. And there's kayaks there and canoes and beautiful lakefront property. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, for the wet raffle ticket, this is included for two trips, actually, a trip to Fredericksburg, and there's a place called Ava House that has a mm-hmm. wonderful western log cabin. And they have biscuit mix and gravy waiting for people. Ooh. It's more couples oriented, that one.
All right. Well, they both sound pretty tempting. Have an online store with Achiever handcrafted items and a fabulous silent auction. A little bit about the kinds of handcrafted items and whatever other items are involved with all this that you're going to have up for sale and auction.
And as I indicated, the Achievers do a variety of crafts, and specific to Circle of Caring, each year they do some specialty items mm-hmm. that are highlighted, and we have a boutique at the event. Well, as I said, rather than not have the event, we actually have the store online this year, and so they're designing frames. We have special wooden picture frames that they're prepared for them to be able to do special accents that they're doing themselves. We also have some terrariums. We have a professional coming in that's going to guide them in making these terrariums. So live plants, of course, in there. They're going to be working on that, as a matter of fact, this coming week. And we also have, I think, some jewelry planned and some aprons, like grilling aprons with stenciling. Or they could be used for gardening or what, or crafting, whatever. And they'll have special stencils that are unique that we've ordered online. So it's not something that somebody can just get around town here. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. Well, I'm sure glad I asked that question. You kind of opened up a whole new world for me there.
Mm-hmm.
Bidding on the dozens of silent auction items, at the risk of maybe repeating ourselves here, and that can't hurt, can it? That starts October 5th. The raffle drawing is actually, is that October 3rd going to be the raffle
drawing? Yes, and the reason being is we are doing the raffle drawing so we can film it, actually see who's getting pulled out of the bin there. And it'll be filmed and then put up on the event on October 8th. It'll be, so that's when the announcement will be, because it'll be on a video. And as far as the silent auction, that starts the 5th, so people can actually start bidding on the silent auction items. Everything will be put up there. We have, I think, 45 to 50 items. So people want to be checking back, and the actual online system is designed where the final and last bidder, which will accept both for the store as well as the silent auction, people through midnight on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the cutoff.
Okay, so the 8th is the actual day of the video event.
Yes.
Final highest bidder will have the convenience of having paid online, and pickup of items will be from your office in Tyler. That'll be on site there in Gate 11, did you say?
Actually, the center activities are at Gate 11,
uh-huh.
And we're in an office right across the street in the atriums on Shiloh Road.
In the atriums on Shiloh Road. Okay,
that's where our office is.
Good. I'm glad you were specific about that. Still in the neighborhood, but not exactly the same location, and I'm sure people are going to need to know that, so I'm glad that came out. Laura Matthijs, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Laura is the executive director of Achieving Dreams, based in Tyler at Shiloh Road Church of Christ. Again, the phone number, 903-630-7724. Website is achievingdreams.org. And you call it a trail ride of fun from the comfort and safety of each attendee's own home. I don't know if you've ever had any experience writing advertising copy. Good job on that. Event sponsorships received prior to October 1st, guaranteed. I think you mentioned this. We'll repeat it. Guaranteed to be recognized on the event website. And a special event commemorative poster, which will remain at the Achieving Dreams Center location in perpetuity, I believe you said. Okay.
I didn't use that word, but I wanted to, but I was afraid I'd mess it up.
Oh, okay. Well, now we'll share that. John and Laura both said perpetuity. We'll just kind of let the record show. As far as a financial goal, you're probably not as much as, unfortunately, you would make in a normal year, but you're hoping to come in at maybe between $15,000 and $20,000 total once all the money's counted?
I believe so, yes. We're very hopeful.
Okay. Circle of Caring, October 8th. The big fundraiser for Achieving Dreams, and you can get all the information online at www.achievingdreams.org. We mentioned earlier about just regular day-in, day-out donations, and there is a donation key on the tab on the website. That's real easy to find, and you also take checks by mail, and they do want to use the mailing address. You're actually housed at Shiloh Road Church of Christ, but a tenant, not the owner of the property. So mailing address is P.O. Box 131418, Tyler 75713-1418, and that's mentioned on the website as well in case people want to drop a check in the mail. Moving on into volunteers, I know volunteers are the lifeblood of the nonprofit community. What kinds of things do you have volunteers doing? And talk about that a little, and maybe what the qualifications are, if there are any specific types of people that you would really love to have as volunteers?
Well, as with most nonprofit organizations, our board are volunteers. And most of the people that get drawn to what we do are those that have a heart and passion for persons with special needs. So that would be not a requirement, but generally that's what we find, that the people have had experience, whether they've had family members themselves or just have a heart for it. So that's something that I think that is critical, is that somebody be comfortable with working with the population. As far as right now, we do have a limited number of volunteer positions available at the center because we're trying to keep our numbers down as far as the number of people
mm-hmm.
at the center for obvious reasons. But we do have some new opportunities, such as being a runner, we're calling it, to help with some of the community partner relationships to bring items back and forth. And occasionally, we do have board positions that open up, so anybody that might have interest in that. And then, of course, we would ideally be seeking people that would, you know, bring some skills and connections and obviously the heart for the population to fulfill those kinds of positions that might open up.
Okay, that's a good description. Thanks for sharing that with us as we talk to Laura Matice of Achieving Dreams. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. There's also an online volunteer form. A lot of the questions that you've just answered can probably be answered by, you know, if people just check that online volunteer form and fill that out, and it's available on your website, which is achievingdreams.org. Achieving Dreams, again, working with special needs adults from their 20s all the way up through their 60s, established in 2014 by parents and special ed professionals when the need for a community-engaged rehabilitation program was identified. And that brings up an interesting point because I know you have a pretty specific set of goals and objectives that you have within the auspices of Achieving Dreams, but you also do partner and connect with other organizations around the community that have similar mission and goals?
We do. Primarily, we'll get together with other organizations when we were able to for social or maybe an annual social get-together like Azalea Academy, and we certainly do cross-referrals with them and other disability-related organizations. So that's a very important part of our being connected to community, is connecting with others that serve the same population.
Sure thing. Getting down close to the end of the show, got about 3, maybe 4 minutes left. And one thing I wanted to ask you, do you consider this kind of an overlooked population?
Well, we certainly do consider persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities overlooked. I think there's a movement as far as a lot of the equality emphasis over the years in society that it's people are more open and not labeling people and limiting people as maybe they once did. However, that's a big part of what Achieving Dreams is about, is having the achievers out in community. So we're anxious for that to come about again, because then they do make connections with others beyond just within the walls of a dayhab, because that was a big part of who we are. So it's been quite an adaptation for us, being as we were founded on those principles. So we're going to find creative ways to get beyond that, regardless of whatever this health scare brings our way. So thank you for asking.
Sure thing. Down the road, it's the picture, in my opinion, it's starting to clear up some. I seems like we're beginning to get a handle on COVID-19 as a nation and as a world, really, but we can't take any chances. I mean, the officials keep emphasizing don't slack off. Restaurants are starting to open again, but we still have to go out and wear our masks. And what I'm getting at with this, though, is that it's kind of hard to know at this point what lies down the road. But what would you say that you're hoping for maybe in the next year or so, if everything gets back on track fairly soon? Where would you like to see Achieving Dreams maybe in the next 12 months?
Well, as you've indicated, Lord willing, that we find a way through this COVID-19 situation, whether there be a vaccine or, you know, by some miracle it lifts and we can resume more community connections. And in the event that evolves, that we had plans already to add a third team that would be possibly a what might be considered higher functioning individuals that can have more a variety of types of challenging tasks and maybe even more interaction and leadership type roles in community and among their peers. So that's in our strategic plan. We're hopeful for that as well. And I certainly don't mean to be in any way negative, but we are very realistic and we're very protective of those we serve. And they are an at-risk population, so when people do call us and inquiring about joining and being part of Achieving Dreams, we are very open and honest about, you know, what we're doing and any concerns that exist, and anybody who has already heightened risk factors, that is screened.
Okay, we're running out of time here, Laura, but I think you've gotten the point across very well, and I certainly do appreciate it. Show's about to end. We've been visiting with Laura Matthijs of Achieving Dreams. Laura, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with everything, including the Circle of Caring fundraiser.
Thank you. Appreciate your
calling in.
Thank you so much.
You bet. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week on In Focus.